1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time now for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Interviews with the stars, movie reviews, insight talk, and up-and-coming talent. Everything you want rolled together for the next 2 hours. Topics such as love, family, social talk, fun, leisure, and travel. And that's just for starters. No matter where you are, the magazine has arrived. Now, here are your hosts for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac.
And welcome to the magazine, of course, heard here on KXXT 1010 every Thursday from 2 to 4. Breakthrough Thinking, of course, Monday through Friday, 2 to 4. With Monday and Tuesday Business Psychology, Breakthrough Sports Wednesday and Friday, and the magazine, which is today 2 to 4, starring Mr. Greg Isaac and Joseph Iardo.
Iardo.
Oh, nicely said.
We might be a little tired today, Dave and I, but we still have the Iardo Iardo down.
Yeah, so we might be under the weather a little bit. But I started pretty good, right? Enthusiastic, of course. Excited because we have some great guests today. And
oh, yeah.
We're going to do some movie reviews, but we do have a great guest. Of course, Jule Stewart, writer, director, a new movie coming out, K-11. But we will also do movie reviews after.
Yes,
we'll have
a few new movie reviews, Amore, Gangster Squad, A Haunted House. I know you wanted to talk about one movie that you saw, Dark 30.
That's right, I did see that one.
And we've also got some contests, that'll be in our, after our big interview here coming up. And so while we get our interviewee on the phone, let me tell you a little bit about this movie. It's called K-11.
Yes.
And here's a synopsis from the website. Like Alice in a brutally violent wonderland, music executive Ray Sachs Jr. is trapped in K-11, a very unique part of the Los Angeles County prison system. He was out cold when he arrived, and he has no idea how he got there. All he knows is he needs to get out alive and intact. To do that, Ray must navigate through a maze of drug-addled, transvestite criminal politics with obstacles at every turn. Insane cellmates, corrupt guards, and his own issues are just a few of what he's dealing with. And while he pieces together his means of release from this dark and dangerous rabbit hole, K-11, we have the writer and director of this great film, Jule Stewart.
Well, Jules, welcome to the show. Well,
thank you
so much. And, of course, you've been around Hollywood for a while. Great experience, over 30 feature films and 50 television things, as well as being part of, I believe, the script supervisor in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Jingle All the Way, Snow Dogs, to name a few. Very popular movies. And this is very exciting probably for you. I think it's your debut as a director for K-11. And how is that feeling right now?
Great.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's got to be exciting because you've been around Hollywood so long, and now here you are being a director, a writer. Is to me, that's just fabulous.
It's pretty exciting.
Very, very exciting.
It is pretty exciting.
I can't wait to see it. And Joseph, it's not out yet here, is it?
No. Maybe if Jules knows exactly when, but I think it's coming out this spring, right, and possibly to Phoenix, in February,
March? Well, we're scheduled for release March 15th.
Oh, okay. Okay. Great. Great. Excellent. And so tell me a little bit about what the allure was of this project. What compelled you to want to do this film?
Well, I met a young man named Jared Kurt who knew about K-11, and he came to me with the idea about writing a screenplay about it. And part of the allure was I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know it existed. So after doing a little bit of research, I thought, sure, why not? And the goal was to write a screenplay and make a film that wasn't like any other film out there. Something new, unique, different, original.
Yeah.
And it's quite a concept in Hollywood these days.
Yeah.
That's very true, very true. Well, and what kind of research did you do then once you, since this is, K-11 is a real place?
Well, we went to K-11.
Okay.
We got a tour, we met the people that run it, and we learned what the rules were, what the schedule was, how it was laid out, and then we invented characters and we put them in that situation.
Wow, excellent. And the casting in this is great. I have had a chance to see the film and thought it was great. I don't know if my review is embargoed, so I can't give any further specifics on the air. But Mousy, I thought in particular, was fantastic. Tell me about how you found these actors.
Well, Kate Del Castillo plays Mousy. She's a Mexican actress, and I think she's probably better known in the Hispanic community, but she was referred to me by a friend of mine out of New York who does commercials for the Hispanic market. I was looking for a strong female character that was, well, that could play a man turning into a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a unique request. And when I met Kate, I knew instantly that she was the girl.
As a director, what did you do for the actors, and in particular Kate, to get her ready for this?
Well, we went to K-11, and we talked about the character and what the needs were. And there's three girls in the film that play boys turning into girls. And they actually wore prosthetics to help them. It changed their body language, the way they walked, the way they carried themselves. And I think it was more of an internal thing, but it seemed to work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. yeah, it certainly did.
Well, you know, there was another film, Jules, that was out. I'm trying to read. Oh, Tony Robbins was in it. What was it?
Shallow Hal.
Yeah, Shallow Hal. And,
oh, yeah.
And you know, they interviewed, I can't remember, Gwen, what was her name, the main
Gwyneth
actor?
Paltrow.
Yeah. And they interviewed her, and when she put all that you know, the costumes on and all the stuff to make her look very, very overweight, it made a difference, she said, in her psyche, you know, as she walked through actually restaurants and stuff and people that really weren't part of the scene. She started to feel self-conscious, and that's sort of interesting. As a director, you probably – sort of what you're describing right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, we asked these girls to step outside their comfort zone and do something that they had never done before. And in order to make them more comfortable doing that, you really want to supply them with whatever it takes. So in this case, it was a prosthetic. It was the haircuts. For the butterfly character, for the Mousy character, I think it was mostly the makeup. Mm-hmm. You know, they shave their eyebrows and their whole face is completely made up and very mask-esque. And I think all of that makes a big difference when you look in the mirror and you don't see yourself anymore. You see the character.
Sure. I'm glad you mentioned Butterfly. I thought she was a great character. She is, I believe, an 18-year-old in this. She's a very innocent girl. And the actress that plays her is Portia Doubleday, a very underrated actress, very beautiful actress. But for those of you out there who don't know, Jules is, her daughter is, who?
Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart. Yes. You know, I was going to mention that, you know, you've been in Hollywood for quite a while now, gaining great experience, obviously, contributing great value, and probably setting the path for your own daughter to be where she is. I'm a big fan, I got to tell you, of Twilight. I've seen many of them. I'm one of the probably older guys that love it. I know a lot of teenagers.
He scares a lot of people in the theater.
Yeah, not really. But how is that setting the path for your daughter to get into this business? And did this? At what point did you know she was going to be she's a star. I mean, a big star.
Well, I mean, in terms of Kristen, I think I didn't really do a lot. You know, I was really the one that kind of drove her to the auditions. And when I couldn't do that, I made my friends drive her to the auditions. And once she got her first job and basically stepped through the door, she held her own. She's her own person, and she did it basically by herself.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could say I had a big part in it, but I don't believe I did.
Well, you know, but at some level probably. I mean, because here you were in Hollywood, I think, you know, 30 years plus or so, and she's seen you in that, she's probably just at least at an unconscious level. And
well, I mean, she was raised in a family that is, everyone works in show business in one degree or another. But I think, you know, she has been quoted as saying she has a below-the-line mentality, which means she's about the work. And she approached her entire career as it's about the work. And so she showed up on time, and she did what she was supposed to do, and people respect her for that.
How proud of you, her.
I am extremely proud of her.
I mean, it's incredible. what was she like? Oh, geez, it must have been 18 or so when the Twilight Saga started?
Actually, I think she was younger.
Even younger than that,
yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could tell each movie progressed, I believe. I think she progressed as an actress. Always a great actress. But I think each time you could see the development of such a young woman. And I think it's just remarkable.
Yeah, it's pretty. She's an impressive young girl. If I don't, say so myself.
Yes.
she's very talented and very smart and... she is definitely her own person.
Well, and at one point she was going to play Butterfly, the character we were just talking about in this film. Can you tell me about any preparations that you had with her for that until she dropped out, and why it wasn't meant to be?
Well, actually, she was working on Twilight when we were writing the script, and I went up to be with her for a while. It was when they were in Portland, and... she read it, and she really liked it, and she sort of attached herself to play Butterfly. And at the same token, she tried to attach her friend Nikki Reed to play Butterfly or to play Mousy.
Oh,
wow!
And as time went on, you know, as an independent filmmaker, it's very difficult to get things financed and off the ground and actually go into production. Her career skyrocketed. And she had the opportunity to do Snow White.
That's right.
At the same time that we were going to make K-11. And we just sort of decided it would probably be better for her career to do Snow White.
Sure.
And that's when I found Portia, who I think is just an amazing young actress and just really did a terrific job as that character.
Completely agree, yeah.
Now, Jules, as we've mentioned, of course, your directorial debut, and you mentioned the reason why you were very interested in that. In the past, though, you know, being around in the business for 30 plus years, has it ever caught your attention in the past to possibly direct, or was this just something that came about when you had interest in the K-11 screenplay?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I was a little nervous. I never really thought I would end up being a director. It's a huge responsibility, and I never actually believed anyone would have that much faith in me. So when it actually came about and I ended up directing the picture, it's funny, you're put in a situation where you have no time to think about those kind of things because you're faced with a schedule that you have to meet, and actors that you have to deal with and characters that have to be developed, and you're basically on a timeline. So you just do what you have to do to get it done.
Now that you got your first movie as a director under your belt, how do you feel about it now, being a director?
Well, I love it. I especially love working with the actors and telling the stories and getting in there and actually being able to make decisions. It's great. It's great fun.
Is there anything, any general insights maybe about yourself that this first experience directing has taught you?
Whoa. I think you learn a lot about yourself. You know, like when push comes to shove, can you really do it? Can you deliver the goods? And I think, you know, I was always afraid to talk in front of a lot of people, and I was quite shy. And I think at some point you have to let all those things go because you have to do what's best for the film, and what's best for the film is to take charge and tell people what the story is and what they need to do and what their motivation is and all of that. And so you're basically driving the bus.
I know we've already talked a little bit about some of the cast, but one of the standout names that comes out is someone that we've had as an interview here before on the show, Jason Mewes, who, of course, is well known as Jay from the Jay and Silent Bob movies. And how mm-hmm. was it like working with Jason?
Jason's amazing. He's so talented, well beyond Jay and Silent Bob. And I think he had a chance in K-11 to prove to the world that he's a serious actor. And he did a great job, and he was really very pleasant to work with.
That is excellent. I mean, that sounds like, you know, a dream come true for you. And like you said, that you never thought you'd be a director. And
no.
It just sort of interesting that how things just sort of come about, and their blessing in disguises, perhaps. Now, what does the future look like for you? You got, I believe, you have a couple movies that you're working on, or is that true? Or you got?
Well,
my
partner and my the president of my company, Tom Wright, and I have a couple of projects in development. One of them is a period piece, 1940s. It's a love story. It's called Swingfully Yours. It takes place in the swing era. And then we have another project that we're working on, which is a thriller, a supernatural thriller, which is starts in feudal China.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's sort of a ghost story, so that's kind of fun. And, you know, we're in the process right now of developing these scripts and getting ready to send them out and look for financing.
That is so cool. Now, does the future look like the mother and the daughter will be working together soon here?
You know, that's hard to say, you know, because each project is different. And, you know, in as much as I would love to work with my daughter,
yeah.
Right now we don't have any projects that really are suited for her.
Well, and I do want to say that Kristen does have a cameo in K-11. Could you tell us a little
yeah.
bit about that?
She has what we call a micro cameo, which is just a voiceover. She plays Raymond's secretary on the telephone.
Okay.
And she actually did that for me as a favor, because we were trying to find someone to do it, and everyone seemed kind of funny in front of the microphone. You know, people get nervous. And finally she said, I'll do it. And one take later, it was finished.
All right. Well, and so I'm sure that her fans will recognize that. And I do want to go back to some of the other films that you said that you guys are working on. They're mm-hmm. they're quite a bit different than this one. This one's just very dark, but in a very good way. You know, so is that something you want to kind of do, is switch things up and just make a bunch of different variety
well,
of films?
I think our goal here at Libertine Films is to make films that have never been made before.
Mm-hmm.
We're not into, you know, reinventing a film that's already been made and retelling it. We have unique, original stories, and quite frankly, all of them are different.
I like that because, yeah, it seems like now every 5 years one franchise might end and then they
right, exactly.
restart it again. You know, sometimes they're good films, but you kind of look and say, well, aren't there any original ideas? So this is great to hear.
Hollywood might be a little afraid of an original idea because it's not a proven commodity.
Right, right.
Wow, that is really cool. What a it's such a pleasure and honor to have you on, Jules, today.
Thank you.
And we'd love to have you on again. We'll be following your career, and certainly I'm looking forward to seeing K-11. Of course, we have Jules Stewart, writer director for the new film K-11 coming out here. I think you said March 15th it's going to be released.
That's right. In Los Angeles, it's March 15th.
Excellent.
Not sure about Arizona, but.
We'll
get
make
back
sure.
to me. We'll let you know.
Yeah,
we'll definitely keep people. Because again, I did like it, and I hope that people get a chance to check it out here.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, Jules Stewart, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Good luck on this film too.
Well, thank you very much. My pleasure.
Absolutely, thank you. And that's Jules Stewart, writer director for K-11, being released March 15th in Los Angeles. That was excellent. She sounds so articulate and really. Very, she sounds like she really enjoys directing.
Yeah, it does sound like that. It sounds like she's interested in making very interesting films.
And I like that, as she mentioned, the original films, because you know, even movies that are redone, I mean, they can still be good movies, don't get me wrong, but I think it's refreshing and good to see this, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it, hopefully released at some time around the same time it's released in Los Angeles out here in Phoenix, or I might have to go to L.A. to check it out.
We'll go to L.A.
Let's do it.
Yes, no doubt. Yeah. Anyway, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue with The Magazine, more entertainment, some movie reviews. I think we have a contest.
Yeah,
and you never know, maybe more surprises. And there's our music. Do you like our music, guys?
It's okay.
It's like the swing era, right? All right, it might not be like Led Zeppelin, but it's close. And we'll be right back.
Beer and Bomb and Spain PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to The Magazine every what, Greg?
Every Thursday.
Just wondering if you are on top of
it. No, I don't think that's the case. I think you really forgot.
No, I knew it's Thursday.
You're under the weather today.
I am under the weather.
You're forgetful anyways.
Oh, yeah, right.
But on the other hand, also, because there's so many different shows, I even get lost. I'm like, wait, what is today?
Yeah,
oh,
we
Wednesday
do have
sports. Oh, Thursday.
We have like 15 magazine. Different shows.
Types of, right,
Can
right.
you believe that, Joseph?
Isn't it Sunday? We're not even supposed to be here.
Yeah.
No, no one's even listening.
Hey, we forgot to say, starring Joseph Erdo.
Iardo.
Oh, good.
He's on the ball.
Yeah. And again,
I'll always be on the ball with that.
Yeah, you're very good at that.
I think even yesterday we had mentioned on the sports show when you said, oh, magazine tomorrow. But you said his name wrong, though.
We did.
What is it? Erdo or something? Like
no, hairdo. No, Erdo. It's
Ardo.
I
half the time he says Ardo.
Yeah, Iardo. Yeah. I do. Erdo. Yeah.
I mean Erdo. He gets my name wrong. So
yeah.
No, I don't, Sam. I mean Greg. Yes. And again, thank you to Jewel Stewart, who is the writer director for K11, released March 15th, coming up in L.A. And I'm sure it'll be out here in Phoenix.
Yeah, one of the theaters will
maybe
pick it up.
Camel View. And
yeah. That'll be very, very exciting. So Anyway, let's. What are we going to do? Movie reviews.
Well, let's do some contests first. Let's give a chance for the listeners to
win. The Curdling Screams? Is that what we're going to do?
No, that was last week. We had a lot of fun with that. But here's a few contests, at least, that are coming up. I don't have the details, but if you stay tuned to BreakRadioShow.com, bookmark the website, go there on a daily basis, Break Radio Show on Facebook, mm-hmm. you know, and be on the social networks, and you will have a chance to see Side Effects, a free advanced screening of Side Effects. That's a new movie coming out, I believe, in the beginning of February. Also, Warm Bodies, that opens the beginning of February as well. And A Good Day to Die Hard.
Yes.
Bruce Willis's new movie. So,
oh, yeah.
Our listeners will have a chance to see all these movies before anyone else. Free advanced screenings. You know, so just stay tuned to the website for those. But we do have a few current contests. Mm-hmm. One of which, you can go to the website and print tickets to see Sylvester Stallone's Bullet to the Head. This is a thriller starring Sylvester Stallone. It's based on a graphic novel of the same title, and Stallone plays a career hitman who enters into an unlikely alliance with a by-the-book detective to bring down the ruthless killer of their respective partners. Christian Slater and Jason Momoa also star. Jason Momoa, you know him, right, Greg?
The name sounds familiar.
He was in the Conan remake, I believe.
Oh, really?
Last year,
okay. All right. Oh, he was the main guy?
I think so. He was Conan.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so you can go and you print the tickets, and those are, you know, first come, first serve. Now, you can also print tickets to see Parker, first come, first serve, but here's an extra perk for listeners who are listening today. I want to give you a chance to join the VIP list. You just go there. You don't have to wait in line. You go straight to your seats. They're reserved for you. You got priority seating. And so all you have to do is give us your name and your email address, and I will confirm with you by email and give you all the details. But go ahead and give us a call at 602-296-3632. Again, that's 602-296-3632. And or how else can they get in touch?
Well, they can actually text me if you want at 602-625-3074. So if that's easier, you can text at 602-625-3074. And that will be...
That was interesting, though, the Stallone film. You brought up a name that many of us haven't seen much out of in the last 20 years, of course. Christian Slater.
He's been in some direct-to-DVD things.
Wasn't he in the movie that was voted... I don't know if it was worst movie of last year or the lowest-grossing film of last year.
He's on
year.
Line one, Greg.
Yeah,
how are you going to talk to him about
is,
that?
Actually, but
this is Christian Stewart.
He's one of my favorite actors.
Wrong one. Christian Slater.
Wow, Dave. See, Dave is under the weather today.
I am under the weather.
You know, it's interesting, you know, because he's such a great young actor, and he did some good things in then True Romance, I think, in 93.
Right.
And obviously...
How about that other one, Bugsy Siegel? What was it called?
Mobsters?
That one. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah, sure. No,
remember that one?
He was the man coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
I remember.
Yeah, it's like when you're a little kid, like, who do you want to be when you grow up? Christian Slater! You know, now it's like, who don't you want to be when you grow up?
Right.
No, it's what
at least you got the name right.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah. What happened? He was very talented. Is it just... The roles go away maybe with age.
Yeah, what's
types
up with
of
that,
roles,
Joseph?
Well, I think it's competition because, look here in the next couple weeks, actually. Next week we're going to have a review of The Last Stand. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie.
Yeah.
Right? It opens this weekend. We'll have our review next weekend, or next Thursday, sorry. And then you've got, again, Sylvester Stallone. And then in Parker, you have... Jason Statham. So they're all these big action stars, and it's just a lot of competition, isn't it?
And something that they all have in common, they're all in The Expendables.
That's kind of true.
So what's up with Arnold these days?
Well, he's
making a comeback.
Yeah, he's making a comeback. Yeah, this is he was in the last Expendables film, but I think he had a cameo in the one before that.
Yeah,
This is called The Last Stand.
This is called The Last Stand, and it opens this weekend. And he plays a sheriff of a small town in Arizona, believe it or not. And I actually saw it last night. There was they invited Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and they had a special screening. I have never been more nervous. I was surrounded by law enforcement.
Wow!
And
how'd you do?
I sat there with my arms folded or fingers crossed, whatever.
Did they have a metal detector and pat you down?
I would be scared in general being in a room with that guy.
I met him. Yes.
Sorry.
Oh. Anyway.
No comment.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's coming out, and Johnny Knoxville's in it and everything. So yeah, I can't tell you how it is. But
I'm sorry to interrupt. You know what it kind of looked like? It reminded me of a movie that was sort of based on true events. It was a remake, of course, with The Rock, Walking Tall.
Yes.
Which also had Johnny Knoxville, ironically.
Right.
And it was only like an hour and 15 minutes, very short, but entertaining. I did like it, and I know it was a remake, and originally, I guess, based off a true story. But this kind of looks similar.
It looks similar, yeah. Once you see it, it's actually quite different.
Yeah.
Again, I can't tell you how, but it is.
Right.
It sets itself apart from that and a few other movies, but... Parker, again, call us 602-296-3632 for advance tickets to see this film. The screening is on Thursday, January 24th at 7:30 p.m. at Harkins Arizona Mills. You have to call or text to be on the VIP list. See it for free. 602-296-3632 or text
at 602-625-3074. That's 602-625-3074. Text that, and wow, you could be one of the lucky people to see that the movie.
Yeah. No, all we need is your name and your email address. Again, I'll reach out to you to confirm and everything like that. We'll be reviewing all these movies in the coming weeks, and we will include Christian Slater in that and try to rejuvenate his career.
I think so. I think we got to get him on the air and talk to him a little bit about it. But no, yeah. I remember though, and I'll look it up before we're off the air. But I believe last year I don't think it was voted worst movie or anything. I don't want to say that. But
you're backtracking.
I believe. I believe it was the lowest grossing film. It was a straight
to
DVD.
Oh, that's different.
Right. And I realized that maybe I'd said that wrong, but I'll look it up here. But I was just wondering because I was like, he was always very talented. I know actors sometimes.
Do you mean highest grossing or lowest grossing?
Yeah, depends. Probably a little bit of that as well. Dave would know best, but.
TV series, Father Knows Best. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Well, he said Dave knows the high best. Part, but okay.
Well,
no, you get it.
I'm going to find that movie right now.
If you look it up.
Ahead,
well,
yeah.
I was going to say when you said it was the worst movie voted worst movie last year, I was going to say if it was voted from this room, it would be Lincoln, and I don't recall Christian Slater being in that. But and I
he
know that
we
rag on Lincoln too much. I know, but I do want to announce that DreamWorks Pictures announced today that a behind-the-scenes special, Lincoln: An American Journey and Exploration of the Making of Their Highly Commended Film, not highly commended here, is now available on Apple iTunes. So, we'll go ahead and pitch that out. It takes enough of our abuse.
And everyone I know loves it. I'm not,
really?
Except you and me. Everyone. I'm not
Even
kidding.
Even though I didn't see it, I don't think I'd be able to sit through it. But I love Steven Spielberg, though. I mean, normally he...
Well, and Daniel Day-Lewis and Sally Field. Who else was in it? Oh, Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones, yeah.
And
a lot of people.
I don't know who the rest was.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in it.
Oh, he's good.
Well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, big
and
cast.
Christian Slater. No, he wasn't. Let's see.
All right. Well, did you find that movie yet?
I'm still looking. I'm on Christian Slater's page now. But
you are? He
up.
Has a page?
Yeah, he's probably hiding it. Yeah.
Wow. Let's see. Yeah, let's check that out.
We'll have to get him a page.
So we're going to do some movie reviews.
Yeah,
right
let's
now?
Do some movie reviews. We got three movies to review today. Amour, Gangster Squad, and A Haunted House. Let's start with Amour. This is playing exclusively at Harkins Camel View 5. It was just nominated for, I think, an Academy Award for a few different Academy Awards. I believe the actress was nominated for, I believe, Best Supporting Actress, unless it was lead. I think it was might have been. I think it was lead. Sorry, and also the film itself was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, but it won a Golden Globe this past weekend.
Ooh.
It won Best Foreign Language Film. Jean-Louis Trintignant, I'm sorry.
Parlez-vous français?
Yeah, it is a French film. And,
Gerard Depardieu.
And Emmanuel Riva play retired music teachers who are, actually it's a... play retired music teachers who are in their 80s. When one of them has an attack, the couple's bond of love is severely tested. So this is a movie basically about a man and a woman. The woman has a stroke, and so she is essentially dying.
Ooh.
And so these people in their golden years still love each other. The man has to watch his wife die. This is the cinematic equivalent of spending an afternoon in a stranger's room at a hospice facility. Have you ever visited hospice?
I did a training there with neurolinguistic programming once. Oh, you're excited?
I am. Well, that sounds good, but also it's playback.
Playback? Oh, yes. Okay. Okay.
Now it comes to mind.
Yeah, there's a playback in your head. Yes. That's how you did it.
Yeah, Christian Slater, of course. Okay. But not because of
that. That was a 2011 film.
But obviously it came released out.
He played Frank Lyons on that one. Yeah,
yeah,
great movie.
Yeah, lowest grossing movie. When I mentioned it was the worst, I meant to say lowest grossing.
And you said, where was he? Look at that. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nine
a lot in
films
development,
in
a lot
12
that he's
and
been
13.
Working on, right. Well, but
that
so
is a lot
he?
Of films. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of Frankie Deaky.
One of the best.
He played Skip Gibbs in Soldiers of Fortune, Craig McKenzie, and Back to the Sea. Okay. he played Jack. He didn't even get a last name on that one. Okay. No, I always like him, though.
He doesn't need a last name. He's Christian Slater.
I always thought he was very good, though.
He is.
Really?
Oh, he is. When we're kind of making fun of it, we don't truly mean
no,
it.
No, you are, because I want to meet him.
No, obviously I'm a big fan of Christian Slater.
Hey, he was in the Ten Commandments. I didn't know that. Oh, he played the role of, the voice of Moses. Wow. This guy's big time. Okay, anyway. What was that film that got a lot of acclaim, though? I mean, a lot of publicity.
Was Christian Slater?
Yeah, it must have been like 10 years ago, though. Do you remember?
He was in quite a bit that, a little more than 10 years ago, but.
Yeah, maybe it was.
True Romance was.
Yeah, True Romance.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Untamed Heart, that's the one.
Oh, okay.
That was good, wasn't it?
I don't believe I've seen it.
Oh, darn.
Sorry.
Yeah. He also plays the easily fooled security guard in Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery.
No.
He doesn't get a name there either.
Yes.
Did he really? Didn't.
In fact, I didn't even know that until right now, and I'm shocked.
Oh, he was in The Legend of Billy
Jean. I like Very Bad Things, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you do. You always have,
funny.
By
John
the way.
John Favreau. Yes.
Oh, you mean the movie.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
I did.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Sorry, Joseph.
Back to you, Joseph.
So back to Amor. Now, you mentioned that you did some training at a hospice.
Yeah, I did.
Facility.
I was helping them out with some communication skills and so on to the families as well as people in hospice.
Is that a pleasant experience?
Well, hospice, by definition, it's not. It depends on your perspective,
right.
But it's... It's basically you go there because you're going to pass away within 6 months. And
and
it can be certainly a very traumatic, sad experience.
And that is very true of this film as well.
Oh.
It is a very traumatic film. I struggled to watch this movie. It was so sickening, and because it's just a very heart-wrenching experience.
Yeah.
And now the problem here is... there's no insight. The director didn't find any insight into the passing away process. He basically just showed us this woman dying, and this man just withering away, watching her die. And it's just a very difficult film to watch. And there's no I don't know how to say it, like reward. I know that's a strange way to say that, but there's nothing that you get on the other side of the experience.
So how many zines?
There's two zines.
Ooh, a two.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it is a very great acting. I couldn't bear to watch this film. Anyone who has been through the hospice experience knows how difficult that can be. So sitting there for 2 hours, a little more than 2 hours, watching that, it's just it's not worth it. It's not worth putting yourself through that.
Yeah, two scenes is not something you recommend then.
No.
Okay.
Now, if you want to go downhill from there, we can talk about A Haunted House.
How do you go downhill from two scenes?
We go to
Lanes.
Oh, Lincoln. Okay.
One zine, a haunted house. Marlon Wayans and Essence Atkins play a young couple who have just moved into their dream home, but soon learns that a demon also resides there and subsequently hires everyone from a priest to modern-day Ghostbusters to rid it of this unwelcome intruder. I'm sure that Greg has seen the scary movie films, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And spoofs of various franchises.
Like Scream and whatnot.
Yeah. Right, right. So this is essentially a spoof of the Paranormal Activity film franchise, and they incorporate some other movies like The Devil Inside as well. This makes you, if you ever thought that you would never miss a time when Marlon Wayans' worst movie roles were a black FBI agent going undercover as a white chick and a vertically challenged criminal posing as a newborn baby, this does it. This makes those movies look like Oscar winners. This is absolutely terrible. There's a very extended scene where Marlon Wayans' character is doing some nasty things to a stuffed animal. Very, very extended scene. And then they go back to it for some outtakes. Disgusting. A lot of fart jokes. Very juvenile film. Believe it or not, you know, the scenes with the with the stuffed animals, it's all downhill from there. So at the end, it's just there. It's
what
a
did the stuffed animal
mess.
Look like though after he was done?
I will say that there was multiple stuffed animals at one point.
Wow.
And maybe, see, you're laughing right now. You might find it funny. So,
I might. I love the Wayans brothers.
Yeah, I do too.
As Marlon Wayans admits, though, and even though they weren't involved with Scary Movie 3, 4, and 5, which actually looks sort of like a haunted house with the paranormal, it comes out later this year. But at least he admits, he goes, everything went downhill after Scary Movie 1, because Scary Movie 2, obviously not the same. But it looks, for me, I haven't seen it, but, David Koechner in it. Mm-hmm. Some decent funny people, Nick Swardson, who's sometimes funny. But
well, see here, the thing is, all those actors, by the way, there's only like a half a dozen actors in the entire movie.
Yeah.
But all those actors are together in the... during the end of the film for the last like 20 minutes,
and
it's
really?
So annoying, so noisy. I mean, Nick Swarsden's walking around naked in the dark. I kid you not. And I don't know any rhyme or reason to any of it. So one zine.
It should be zero, right?
Well,
have you ever
given
a zero?
No, I can't give zeros because there is time and effort into making a movie. Yeah. So I got to give them something. A zero would be there is no movie. So, and I wish that that would have been the case here. But so now finally, Gangster Squad. Sean Penn plays a Brooklyn-born mob king who runs the show in this town with the protection of the police and the politicians who are under his control until a group of LAPD outsiders, played by Josh Brolin, Ryan Gosling, Anthony Mackie, Robert Patrick, Michael Pena, and Giovanni Ribisi.
Great cast.
Come together to try and tear his world apart. Emma Stone also stars, of course, Valley native Emma Stone.
Not Irma Stone, as you said last week.
A stone, okay.
Yeah, she is.
So, again, basically, this is a gangster flick. Sean Penn plays the bad guy.
Hey, say that three times.
Yeah, right. A little bit of the Dave today.
Penn plays, yeah. See, you've got
that
a name
a good
for
one.
So, Sean Penn plays a mob guy, and all these cops come in and try to bring an end to his reign of terror. So if you like gangster movies, you will love this movie. Not very much originality to it. I've got tongue-twisted everything today.
I like Ryan Gosling. And what's his name, Giovanni Ribisi?
Giovanni Ribisi.
He should have won Best Actor in The Sister.
Yes.
Right?
Was Juliet it called Lewis? The Sister? Was it?
Or something like that. Or My Other Sister.
Keeper, or
no,
the,
oh,
no, no, the
My
other,
other
Sister.
Sister.
My, the other,
like
the other
Sister.
Sister. Yeah, the other
Fantastic
Sister.
Fantastic movie.
Yes.
She, I think, won.
She might have.
And I think he should have won. He was amazing.
Yes.
How come he's not a bigger star?
I don't know. Well, you know, he's got a lot of these niche roles. He's kind of
he's
a character
good,
actor.
Though.
Yeah.
This guy's good. Let's get him on the show.
We should.
Another guy, another supporting actor, one of my favorites, Michael Pena, who, again, he could do a little bit of everything. You see him like 30 minutes or less. He has a funny role. Everything Must Go, a little more serious, even though Will Ferrell film. Observe and Report was kind of strange, but yeah. I liked it. It was just it took me a while to kind of understand what was going on. But Tower Heist, I thought he was pretty funny, and even though the movie in general I thought was entertaining but not great. But
Ben Stiller?
Ben Stiller was in it. But Michael Pena, I think over time he's going to keep developing and be a pretty big star.
And Ryan Gosling was in my favorite movie of a couple years ago, Drive.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he was on Jimmy Kimmel with Will Ferrell as a cameo appearance.
Okay.
And of course, a movie that, and of course, a movie that we always end up getting to almost every show is, of course, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone in
Gangster Squad.
No.
That's
Steve Carroll and Julianne Moore and Kevin Bacon and.
Which one?
We're always talking about it, and funny thing
remember.
Is, it just slipped my mind. We're all having
Dave moment. Oh, I'm even now saying that.
Stupid, crazy
love. Yeah, or crazy stupid love.
Crazy
right?
stupid love.
Oh, yeah, with Steve Carell.
Yeah, we did say
but
that.
But they
yeah.
are in the movie together, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, who are in Gangster Flick.
Yeah,
right, absolutely.
Are they going Gangster out Flick. Now that Rachel Adams isn't in the picture?
I don't know.
He went out with her. Remember Notebook?
I think Emma Stone.
Right. That was a pretty good movie.
Yes,
I thought James Gardner should have won Best Actor, or supporting actor. No, really.
Yeah,
I was very mad about that. No, that was
I could tell you were very.
Yeah, I was mad. I thought this is a great movie. He did a great job, right? Didn't you think he did a great job?
Yes, he did.
That is not fair. I give that like 4.5 zines. Did you give it 4.5 zines?
I think I might have given Notebook 5.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of four zines, I'm giving Gangster Squad 4 zines.
Whoa, I bet it's good.
I just wanted to interrupt, and we'll get back to that, because I really do want to see Gangster Squad. Emma Stone is not dating Ryan Gosling, but she is dating Andrew Garfield.
Who's that?
Oh, that's right.
Spider-Man. He plays Spider-Man in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Darn. So I don't have a chance.
The Social Network, of course.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to set me up.
Oh, yeah, with Amy Garfield.
Amy Garfield. Okay.
What's her name? Amanda Freed.
Is that the girl
Tom,
that's out?
We got to take Dave's drugs away.
Is that Amanda?
Amy Garfield sitting out here on the corner
is
without
it a,
me.
Is it Amanda Freed?
She's out there with the safe.
Siegfried?
She's got her Starbucks cup. She's saying, any change?
Oh, Amy, Amanda, Siegfried, and Roy. Is that what you're saying?
Siegfried.
So anyway, I'm sure that, Dave, you like The Untouchables and Goodfellas and The Godfather, right? You're going to love this movie.
Fantastic.
You're going to love this movie. You know, it's got all those scenes from those movies. So, again, it's
and
not
great
very
acting.
Original.
Yeah. No doubt.
And it's a very violent film.
Oh.
It's just a lot of fun. It's a great cast. And Sean Penn, especially, gives a purely petrifying performance. He is really, really scary
in this
movie.
He's a great
actor.
He is a fantastic actor. No doubt. He lost to, I think, John Wayne once or someone.
Oh, yeah.
I forget. Okay. Maybe not.
But I did get a chance to talk to one of the actors briefly, Anthony Mackie. And so we have a brief clip from Anthony Mackie, my interview with him. This interview was a little while ago. I was asking him about several of his projects that were coming up. So I just basically asked him, tell me about Gangster Squad. Tell me about your character. Tell me about this film. And this is what he said.
Gangster Squad is 1949 Los Angeles. We play a misfit group of cops put together by the LAPD to take down legendary mob boss Mickey Cohen. So it's a beautiful, you know, L.A. noir type film. It's you know, Ryan Gosling and Josh Brolin and Sean Penn. And you know, Ruben is a really cool and interesting director. So it looks amazing. And the action sequences in that are kind of out of control as well. It's a lot of Tommy guns.
And Mickey Cohen is a real gangster, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Dave would know. Yeah. Dave,
no,
how
I
was
wouldn't.
Los Angeles during that time?
I would know. I wasn't even born then.
Really?
You used to roll with him, huh?
You know what's interesting with Ruben Fleischer is I know we've talked about before as well, of course, as we've mentioned, with Zombieland director in 30 Minutes or Less. So I know this is a movie that I will like because I love those movies. Your review of it makes it sound so enticing. And. Mm-hmm. It just looks great. I mean, with the cast and just the type of story. Now, I've heard some people try to compare it to like a Dick Tracy type, but it does not go that far.
Don't think it does. Well, in certain ways it does. It's a very strange film in that you there's a scene in the movie that I could have swore was stolen directly from The Untouchables. And there's a lot of scenes in the movie that you kind of like feel like that. And it is kind – it is – you could have called it gangster flick. I think I did a couple times here, gangster flick, instead of gangster squad, because it almost feels like this – if you were going to make one gangster movie in your entire life, or if you were only going to see one, this was going to be it, because it just kind of defines the genre. But that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to see a gangster movie, then you want to see a gangster movie, and this will do it.
Absolutely.
This has it all for you.
Now, let me ask. Josh Brolin was in this other great movie.
Men in Black 3? No, it wasn't.
It wasn't that.
The Goonies.
No, that was true.
No Country for Old Men.
No? Oh, was he in that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
But no, another one where he got – he they were police officers again, but on the take. And they got caught. What was that? I think Sean Penn was in it. That was a great movie.
Oh, Colors.
No.
No?
No. Shoot. What was that? I'll have to
remember.
Was
it recent or was it
late 5 years ago or so. He was on the – they were on the tape.
So if Dave's saying 5 years, it's probably 15 years. So,
no, he's not that old. You don't remember that, huh?
Now I'm trying to see what else Josh Brolin is.
He was on the take. Gosh, who was that? It was actually a true story about one of the gangsters. Oh man. Okay. Well, I'm going to think of it. Because
now there's one I'm thinking of, but it's not with Sean Penn, but it's with
Who?
Giovanni Ribisi, the Mod Squad.
No.
Oh, okay. I know that's not the storyline you're talking about, but I don't know if...
He was on the take, and they were looking for the top mob boss, but these police officers were...
it was a true story.
It was a true story about someone...
So not the Mod Squad.
God, it was very
While
well
you're
known.
Thinking about it, again, if you want to win tickets to see Parker for free before anyone else, Parker, 602-296-3632. We have a few tickets left, 602-296-3632. Go ahead and give us a call.
Or text me at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074. Okay, you got another one.
Well, I know that you wanted to talk about Zero Dark Thirty. I reviewed it last week. I gave it 4 zines, and it is nominated for a bunch of awards. Jessica Chastain won for Best Actress at the Golden Globes. So what did you think?
Well, I thought, like you said, it was sort of slow in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think it was just too long, too slow. But it did pick up, and it was very interesting about especially if that's how this really went down. It's very interesting how daring that mission was.
Mm-hmm.
And incredibly gifted our United States, I guess it was the Navy SEALs, I think, were. And it was just amazing what they did.
Well, I agree that it took a little bit too long to get to the Navy SEALs. I mean, you see all these scenes from the commercials and trailers for the film where... of the Navy SEALs, of the various actors, and they don't show up until maybe the last 45 minutes of the film, and this is like a 2.5-3 hour movie.
Yeah, it was quite. Yeah, that was a big movie. I'd give it about 3.5 scenes. I think you gave it 4.
Yeah,
and I think, by the way, not to depart from what we're talking about, I got it. It's Denzel Washington.
American Gangster.
American.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, but I don't remember if Sean Penn was
great.
In that.
It was actually Denzel Washington.
Yeah, they're very similar, Denzel and Sean Penn, Dave.
But Frank Lewis, that was
a great phenomenal
movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't
movie.
That?
American Gangster?
Yeah, did you ever see it?
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
Really?
Oh, really? I'd give it a 4, right?
3.5 to 4.
Josh Brolin, he's an excellent actor, I got to tell you. He was, remember him, and he was sort of the tough guy.
Yeah,
and,
no, I remember now. I was thinking to look for Sean Penn. See, the only movie, other movie that I've seen that they've been in that I could see or think of at the top of my head is Milk.
Yeah, Russell Crowe was in it.
But obviously, that wasn't about detective, but...
I don't remember that one.
Milk, it came out about 4 years ago or so, but that had both Sean Penn and Josh Brolin, but it didn't fit the storyline you were talking about
American
Josh
Gangster
playing a detective.
Wow, but, really? What didn't you like about that, going back in yesteryear?
Oh, I can't even remember because it was so long ago. Yeah, yesteryear. But I think that might have made me, you mentioned Dick Tracy, it made me feel a little bit like it was going for camp in a way.
Huh.
It didn't feel realistic to me enough.
Really? I thought it felt. What about you, Greg?
It's been a while. I just remember I loved it. I thought it felt somewhat realistic. I could see what you mean though on that, but I thought it was entertaining. You know.
But Russell Crowe, excellent. I mean,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Speaking of Russell Crowe, why haven't you seen Les Mis yet?
Yeah, not yet. I was wondering if I should.
I can sit through the singing.
Yeah, singing of 3 hours of singing. Yeah. But Amanda, what's her name?
Siegfried and Roy.
Siegfried and Roy.
We're never going to see why.
Big Love, it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
She was in that.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm going to see it. I don't know. Like Greg says, 3 hours.
I'm not really into the musical type of stuff, but great cast and Sacha Baron Cohen as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's got a great scene. I really enjoyed his.
And he was singing too.
Yeah, yeah. He has a song on the soundtrack.
In Borak voice or something?
No, it's a Sacha Baron Cohen voice.
Oh, very interesting. All right, so three and a half scenes
for Zero Dark Thirty. Yeah.
I mean, it's worth seeing. No question.
Yeah, yeah. I had the same trouble with it as I walked out, and all my fellow critics were just raving about it.
In fact, you
and,
changed your mind. You said the next day.
No, not for that one. That was a different one. This one, I was kind of wavering between three and four. I agree that it's a good film, but just not as good as everyone else is saying that it is.
No.
I would much rather see things like Life of Pi win.
How about Silver Lining Playbook?
I didn't care for Silver Lining Playbook.
I like it. That's up for Best Picture.
Right, right.
I don't know if it should get Best
Picture.
But
so is Lincoln.
Well, I'd take that over Lincoln. I'd take Jennifer Lawrence over...
I could not stand her speech at the Golden... Was it at the Golden Globes, I believe?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, the most
recent. Oh, it was bad?
Yeah, the Golden Globes. Her speech was... She got up on stage and...
What'd she say?
She held up her trophy there and says, wow... I take that, Meryl Streep. I beat Meryl Streep. And I thought that was very uncouth. I think she meant it as a joke. It came out wrong. Maybe she thought that it was going to be funny, but it just came out very uncouth.
I was going to email her and say I'm going to have to reprimand you for that. Let's meet up in that room.
Because the truth is, my favorite actress of all time is Meryl Streep.
Yeah, she is fantastic.
And she was homesick. She couldn't make it to the Golden Globes.
And she was up for Iron Lady?
No, that was a couple of years ago. She was for Hope Springs with Tommy Lee Jones.
I sort of like that one. Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked Hope Springs.
Yeah. I liked it.
I think you're right though. I think when she said it, it was more of a joke, and I think she was just nervous, so it came out
probably
a little bit different. But she is a cutie. I will say when I saw the Hunger Games, when everyone's saying, "Oh, Jennifer Lawrence, so hot," all that.
Yeah,
I didn't see it as much. I'm like, well, you know, maybe it's just because for the movie she's, you know, no makeup, nothing like that. And then
I see her in pictures and stuff.
I'm like, that's her. Unbelievable.
Take your temperature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and speaking of the Golden Globes, I thought that Anne Hathaway was completely fake when she was giving her speech.
Yeah.
She was, because she won, of course, for Les Mis, and she looked like she was just faking so much. She was almost crying, and, oh, I'm just so touched. I had no idea I was going to win. I'm sorry, everyone's pegged you to win, so don't act so surprised.
Oh.
So be gracious about it, and... You know.
When's Academy Awards?
And you were greatest Catwoman, though.
Yes. Academy Awards, I believe, are on at the end of February.
Wow. Should we do the red carpet treatment?
Since we are a
well-known, incredible entertainment show.
Yes, we will have
Wouldn't the red carpet treatment.
We will give our picks, and we will have celebrities lining
I mean, actually go down there to Hollywood.
Oh, if you want, sure.
This is Dave on the red carpet. Right?
Well, yes. And speaking of the red
carpet. Here's Jennifer Lawrence. Greg did not think you're so hot, but now he does.
Yes.
If you want one
That's
of these
why
last.
I had to reprimand her a little bit, but, you know, I probably won't tell you guys how it goes.
And Bradley Cooper, how are you? Say hi to Greg.
If you want one of these last couple tickets to join the red carpet for Parker, 602-296-3632. 602-296-3632. VIP tickets for Parker. Advanced screening free.
Ah, that would be good. Or text 602-625-3074. 602-625-3074. Wow, this was a great, great show today. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did.
Despite we're under the weather, right, Greg?
Jules Stewart.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah, thank you again to Jules Stewart, who is a writer-director for K-11, mm-hmm. releasing on
March 15th in Los Angeles.
In L.A. Yeah. And we'll go down there and watch it, won't we?
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure it will also come out here in other places in the United States.
Yes, it will.
And Joseph Erdo, where do they get in touch with you?
Examiner.com or AZ Weekly Entertainment Magazine and BreakRadioShow.com.
Excellent. And everyone can hear a replay of this great hour on BreakRadioShow.com.
Absolutely.
Under the magazine.
Yes.
Mr. Greg, yes.
Ah, so I was going to say, yeah, BreakRadioShow.com. Check out a lot of Joseph's great stuff on there.
My reviews are up there right now from today's movies.
Absolutely.
And we'll see everyone tomorrow on Breakthrough Sports. More sports action. Ed Cole, Chris Habas. We'll talk some hockey action. And what else, Greg?
The Arizona Rattlers head coach, GM Kevin Guy.
David Turner, actually.
David
player.
Turner.
He'll be on tomorrow, too. See you tomorrow.